Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 4, the gospel is embodied in these words.
Jesus loved me.
Moreover, brethren, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul said, was passed down to me, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So there's no need for you to go to hell. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Therein lies, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, straight from the Bible, the Word of God. George Owen said, the world has many religions. It has but one gospel. Can somebody say amen? Remain standing for the reading of the passage for the Just Jesus Gospel Message, subtitled More About Jesus. Think not, he said, that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill all of it, if you will. For verily, truly, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye rather shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the only righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees is the righteousness of Christ. You must be born again. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save you. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Cast out the devils and the demons of hell and the satanic spirit of Judas and betrayal and sabotage from people's lives so that they can hear the gospel and be saved. And Lord, have mercy and grace upon those of us who are truly born again. Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy gospel once again, to preach your holy word. Save that soul that's nearest hell, and revive those who are saved. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, from your work and from your people and from the minds of the lost and the saved. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, 800 years ago, Bernard of Clairvaux penned this beautiful hymn, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. And then the great songwriter Charles Wesley whose apartment I was able to visit on one of my many visits to England, said these words, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace." Can somebody say amen? William Secker said, "The law by which God rules us is as dear to Him as the gospel by which He saves us." Beloved, when Jesus told His audience that He had come to fulfill the law, He did not mean that He came to obey the law in the same way the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of that day taught. These scribes and Pharisees practiced a perfunctory, mechanical form of religion, one that was void of spirit and void of true life. They tried to get people to follow man-made rules to the point of absurdity. For example, they condemned Jesus for healing sick people on the Sabbath, yet for money's sake, they were not willing to lose livestock that fell into a well or down a cliff on the Sabbath. They would do everything they could to get that cow out of the ditch. The religious teachers strained at gnats, and Jesus actually told them that, of course, like whether or not people washed their hands before meals, while swallowing camels, such as claiming that it was preferable for people to go hungry on the Sabbath, because picking grain was work. Jesus did not want people to get the wrong impression when He said that He had come to fulfill the law. So He clarified by saying, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's got to be better than that. This is a direct contradiction of a popular Jewish phrase: if but two men were to enter into the kingdom of heaven, one of them would be a Pharisee and the other a scribe, end of quote. So you can see how arrogant and how puffed up they were. And Jesus came and broke that down. What does Jesus mean by being more righteous than the scribes and Pharisees? Matthew Benson said the Pharisees affirmed that only the outward action was commanded or forbidden in the law, and that they interpreted all its precepts accordingly. On this principle, they boasted of having performed everything that was required of them. Nay, they were so arrogant as to think they could do even more than was required. Jesus loudly condemned this pernicious morality, which was destructive of all virtue. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when you're sitting by yourself and you see a fine somebody, if you lust your wicked heart out and you lust your wicked eyes out, and just if none of the folk at the church are watching you, the pastor's not there, and that does not convict you or bother you on the inside, you have the fake, phony righteousness of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. You don't have the righteousness that Jesus is talking about, because if you did, you'll be troubled on the inside about that evil that is in you. You'll be hearing a voice and you'll be saying yourself, I can't do that. That's wrong. I cannot lust. I don't look again. That's wrong. That's not right. I'm lusting with my heart and not just with my eyes. And so God sees that too, and you come under conviction about that. If you are a true child of God, that is what will happen. Nobody knows what's going on in your mind, but God knows, and you know, and the Holy Spirit knows. Jesus knows. And you are just as troubled as if you were caught by the pastor. That's the kind of righteousness that exceeds what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were talking about. When Jesus talks about our righteousness being greater than even the greatest religious teacher, he is not talking about outward action only. Outward action does matter, but it begins on the inside. Can somebody say amen? The Pharisees had that down pat. Rather, he is talking, and by the way, we got some Pharisees and some Sadducees in the church who got the outward appearance down pat. God help us. Rather, he is talking about what is inside of our hearts, our motivation. Why do you go to church? Do you go to glorify God and to lift up Jesus, or do you go to be seen? Do you go to complete a business deal or to get more business for your insurance company? Is the law written in our hearts? Is right doing accompanied by a right heart and spirit and mind? Are we righteous on the inside? The only person who can make us righteous on the inside like that is Jesus Christ. If you're not troubled about your inner sins, if you're not under conviction about your inside sin, there's something wrong somewhere. Why is it that God will convict you when you want to say something crossways to your wife, but he said, don't you say that, because you're going to lose fellowship with me. Don't say that. You can say this, but you can't say that. Why is it that if you are a child of God and you want to do what you want to do as a wife, but God troubles your heart and convicts you, say, no, you need to go ahead and submit to your husband. He says, just go ahead on and obey me. If you do this, I'm going to chastise you. You're going to break fellowship with me. Why is it some things you can't even think? God says, you know you're wrong. On the inside, nobody else knows you're thinking it, but it's in your mind, and God knows it's there, and he starts to talk to you and convict you. You can't think like that. Do I have a witness up in here? Amen, somebody. Yeah, yeah. Nobody knows you're thinking that, but you know it, and God knows it, and the Holy Spirit knows it. And you get troubled in your spirit, in your heart, if you're a child of God. Now, some people say, what are you talking about? I know. Before I got saved, I was that way, lost. We were wrong if we did not try to have sex with the fine, voluptuous woman. You were a punk if you didn't go get it. You were a punk if you didn't go after that. You're talking about lust. I was never convicted about the sin of lust. I was never convicted at all about committing fornication or anything like that, or getting drunk or nothing. My whole mindset is, let's get it on. What is the problem? Why are we not drunk now? Why are we not having sex right now? What's the problem? Let's get it on. We are sinning by not sinning. You were not cool if you were not doing that. If you weren't robbing and banging heads back in the day, that we were throwing water balloons. But, man, you were not cool. You could not have any happiness or any, if you weren't doing evil, or you weren't plotting to do something wrong. But I was lost. But those of us who are saved, soon as I got saved, this thing happened to me. I couldn't even have an evil thought anymore. I got to confess it as sin. Now that's the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the hypocrites, the religious folk who are lost and on their way to hell. And by the way, folks, most of the folks in the world are religious in some way, but they're hypocrites in many ways. Those who are not born again, those who are not saved, they're trying to live by some little rule. And God is not going to accept that. He only will accept the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Beloved, we adopt his righteousness when we trust him as our Savior. And it is through him that we enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen, somebody. Now, beloved, if you're with us today, whether here or online, on many different platforms, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can put your faith and trust in him for your salvation today from the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all wrong, no matter how pretty you are, no matter how handsome you are, no matter how educated you are, no matter how smart you are, makes no difference whether you are a judge, a lawyer, an Indian chief, a politician. Jesus said to Nicodemus, one of the greatest teachers at that time of the law, you must be born again. You must be saved. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, Jesus the Christ. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. You know that there's a penalty for sin in every sphere. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's punishment for sin in your home, or it should be. There's punishment for sin in the community. When people do wrong, they must go to jail or to prison. Some even get the death penalty. Sin is an awful thing. And third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now because of your sin. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You're already guilty before God. Jesus Christ, in fact, said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place, and it is eternal. Nobody's trying to scare you. I'm just stating the facts. In order to be saved from eternal hell because of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shall be saved. It is as simple as that. Jesus Christ said it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, perish in hell that is, but have everlasting life. Are you willing, are you ready to be saved from the punishment of hell because of your sins that you've committed throughout your life? Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. Please follow me in what is called the sinner's prayer. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, please have mercy and grace upon me, a sinner. I realize for the first time that I have sinned against you. Not just people and not just myself, but you who made me. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for me, was buried, and rose again. I believe with all of my heart what your holy word says, that he is the Lamb of God who took away my sins. Thank you for saving my soul. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn away from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many email addresses, and let us know. There is some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.